A great week tonight. Okay. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Caught you, Nathan. Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. And again, very glad that you are here. Now, the best way to stay cool on a night like tonight is to be perfectly still. Just like Brother T-Ball. Well, no, he's asleep. No, okay, he's awake. There, he was just being still. It always amazes me because when we get warm, we start fanning, right? Which produces more heat, just so you know. But do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to do tonight. I'm just telling you, I feel good up here, especially after I forgot my jacket. I felt a lot better after that. Is that lying to say it that way, Brother McQuarrie?
Do whatever you think is right.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Way to put it back on me. Appreciate that. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. Tonight we're going to talk about, and I have a title for the study. Normally would not necessarily title it, but because we're between studies, if you will, we just finished 2 Peter, and I'm not exactly sure where the Lord wants us to go just yet, but we will have a Bible study tonight, and I say I normally don't have a title. You could title it based on whatever the text is. But tonight I've kind of introduced with a title, and that is this: Practical Obedience to the Will of God. What does it look like to have practical obedience toward the will of God? Now, we know that God has a perfect will for our lives. Would everybody agree with that here tonight? We're here on a Wednesday night, I would say a Christian crowd this evening. And God has a specific will. God cares. As a matter of fact, God has such a specific will that he put his specific will in the Word of God. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought that that was just the written will of God. Well, the written will of God is extremely specific. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how it is the will of God that no one should perish, right? So because we know that it's not God's will that anyone should perish, we know that it is God's will that all men should come to repentance, which means they should come to faith in Christ. So we know that, number one, it is the will of God for all men to be saved. God wants us to receive him. God wants us to accept him. There's another passage of Scripture in the Bible that says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, what the will of the Lord is. That's in Ephesians. And then right after that, you say, well, what is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we know that God wants us to be saved, and we know that God wants us to be Spirit-filled, and we know those things because he put them in his Word, and he told us that he wanted us to know what his will was. But there's another passage of Scripture that says this. It says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? Your sanctification. Your sanctification is your spiritual growth, your walk, your journey, if you will. The process whereby God, through the course of your life, is striving in you to make you more like himself. That's sanctification. The word sanctified just means to be set apart. It means to be established for different purposes. You know, you've got, I can think of a good illustration, a personal illustration for me, and that is that in our cupboard, we have matching bowls and plates and all of that kind of thing, but there's one bowl in there that's bigger than all of the others. It's not a mixing bowl, and it's not like one of the little cereal bowls. It's about that deep, and it's about that big around, and I'm telling you, that thing is set apart for me. It has my initials in the bottom of it. I'm not even kidding, okay? My wife went to one of these little pottery places with some ladies, and I think it was pottery painting. I don't think they made it, but painted the bowl and all that and put my initials, and I went, that is my bowl. That bowl comes out sometimes multiple times per day, just so you know. But it's set apart, right? It's mine. If I ever see anyone else using it, I'm going to cut their arm off, and that's going to be the end of it. Well, our lives are set apart. They're established for a particular purpose. So God looks at the believer, and he says, you're set apart for me. Okay, you belong to me. You're set apart for my usage and nothing else. God wants us to be wholly yielded to him, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So those three things in mind, and really those are just kind of sub-notes off in the distance as we get started here this evening, I want us to see a text verse here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and then we're going to look a little bit more deeply into the passage here, and we won't go through all the verses. I love the book of Proverbs. I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. If you don't read it every day, you're not sinning, you're not wrong, but But it is a good practice to read it every day because there's 31 chapters. Generally speaking, you can take one chapter a day most months, half the months of the year, I guess, and you could read through them one a day. And then on the days, on the months that's only 30 days or February, you just add a couple and it'll take you an extra 2 minutes. I mean, these are principles. These are the Old Testament, kind of the Old Testament version of parables is what they are. And they're earthly principles with a heavenly truth from the Old Testament. They were written by Solomon. And in this passage of Scripture, we see in verse, I tell you what, we're going to have to go back to verse 10 if we're going to get the context. And so we'll read 10 through 18, and then 19 through 27 we'll study. So 10 through 18, we'll set things up this evening. 19 through 27 will be the bulk of our study tonight. It says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Now, he's giving him a principle that if you live right according to the principles that God has given you. And by the way, if you say, well, where's Jesus in the book of Proverbs? Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom. And therefore, all of the principles of wisdom are part of his nature. And what we see here is actually a principle that's found even in the New Testament, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that thy days may be long," okay? It says, if you will listen, hear my son, and receive my sayings, the years of your life will be many. Verse 11, "I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Verse 13, "Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Now let me pause for a moment and say to all of us, whether it's young or old, is that we need to learn throughout the entirety of our lives how to receive instruction. Do you know how instruction is usually given? It's usually given in the form of some sort of correction. And the Bible tells us, even through the book of Proverbs, not to reject rebuke. How do you know that you're in a spirit of rebellion? It's when you're corrected, you respond poorly. And I don't mean if someone's just being a jerk. I mean if you're being correctly corrected, without being redundant, I guess we could say it that way. So take fast hold of that. You ought to go looking for it. By the way, if you'll go ask before you're corrected, you'll usually be able to receive the instruction with a better spirit. And so it's a good principle to live by. And the Bible says that instruction, and it personifies her and says, she is thy life. So this is not just for young people. It's for everyone their whole lives. It's especially important when you're young, but it's also important when you're not young anymore. And I'm not even going to try to define where the line changes or where the colors change there, if you will. Verse 14, here's this. Notice this. "Enter not into the path of the wicked." Think about that phrase. Enter not. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. You say, well, I'm just going to try it out. No, don't go there. "Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away." You see, Solomon believed in an Old Testament principle, biblical principle, that is, thine eye affecteth thine heart. Or mine eye affecteth mine heart, Jeremiah said that. What is that? He said, don't even look at it. That's why he said, don't even look upon the wine when it's fermented, when it turns red. Don't even look at it. And I've tried to practice that one especially. I don't even walk down the alcohol aisle at the store. I just don't even do it. I have never, one time that I know of, been tempted because I was threatened as a child, probably as part of it. But the other reasoning is that the Bible says, don't even look at it. Now, here's the point. What it says here is, don't look at the wicked and think, that's intriguing. That's interesting. No, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. If that's the way of the wicked, you're going to get too close to it. Just walk the other direction. "For they sleep not, except they've done mischief. Their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence." Notice verse 18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the way of the wicked," verse 19, "is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Now pause there, and let me give you a thought. The path of wisdom is light. The path of the wicked is dark. Did you notice what the Bible said? Okay, verse 18, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Very next verse, "But the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble." When we think of the will of God, I want you to think of the will of God today as more than just a person or a place. And that's where young people, we think about it that way. Where am I going to end up? Who am I going to marry? What is my life going to look like in the next couple, 3, 4, 5 years? And we're thinking of all the places that God wants us. We're thinking about college, and we're thinking about relationships and all of that. But instead of thinking of the will of God as a person and as a place, I want you to think about it as a path, as a journey that God is taking you on. And he says there's two paths. There's the path of wisdom, and there's the path of the wicked. And don't even think about the wicked path, but realize this, that the path of wisdom, the path of the just, if you will, it's going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I got to think about that verse, and I looked into it. How many of you have ever walked in the woods at dark? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Okay, good. A lot of people. How many of you have ever walked in a portion of the woods or wilderness or the outdoors in the dark that you've never walked in the light before? Okay, I've done that a number of times, and there have been a few times when I've been blessed to be able to go out hunting or something like that, and I'll get a new spot. And boy, those are the spots. The only way you know what's there is if you show up before dark, because really that's when all the animals are moving. And I've walked in to these spots before. And I recall one very successful hunt, Brother Lunsford, that was a turkey hunt, man. And I had no idea what I was walking into. And I walked out about 30 minutes later with a turkey over my shoulder. I'm telling him because none of you other people care about it, but he and I do, okay. But I remember walking in that night. I'd never been there. And there was a path, okay. I've walked in other places where there was no path. There was a path, and I went down that path, but I wasn't sure how far everything went, and I stopped at a certain point, I set up in certain places and all that, and eventually God blessed and walked out with a turkey, and on the way out, I remember looking and walking and thinking, and maybe you thought this before, this doesn't look a thing like what it looked like in the dark. Have you ever had that thought before? Man, you turn around, you look, and you go, I don't recognize this. I just walked in on that trail. It doesn't look a thing like that in the daylight. Here's what the path of wisdom looks like, okay? The path of wisdom is like going out in the dark and getting started on your journey. And you don't see much, and it's really hard to tell what's out there. And if you're like me, you're a big scaredy cat, okay? I mean, everything that moves, I'm going, okay, you know, what's going on over here? And you're a little nervous, and you're a little out of your element, and your senses are heightened, and you're walking. But then the day begins to break, and things begin to get brighter. And you begin to walk, and you begin to see, and you go, okay, I can go a little bit further, because I thought in the dark that this was the way it was. But now that I see in the light, I can go a little bit further. And I go a little bit further, and I go a little bit further. And as I go a little further, it gets a little brighter, because the path of the just, the path of wisdom, it shines brighter and more and more. And think about the Christian life as walking in a path that started out a little bit muddy, a little bit murky, a little bit of darkness, if you will, because there was a lack of some understanding of some things. You had faith in God, but you didn't understand everything there was to know about walking the walk that God had called you to walk in, and you just kept going, and you kept growing, and you went forward, and pretty soon things became brighter, and you began to understand, and imagine the Christian life of walking in wisdom your whole life. Imagine if you did that, and at the end of your life, you just stepped out of a path of wisdom into heaven, and that's what the Bible is depicting for us here. The path of the just, verse 18, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's what God wants all of us to experience as we walk the walk. We could say any number, run the race, however you want to phrase that, biblically speaking. As we walk along the path that God has us, the pathway of God's will, God wants us to walk a sanctified walk, a walk of wisdom, and a walk that grows brighter and brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. Now, I read that and I think, what do I have to do to experience this? And I believe the answer is found in the remainder of the verses of the chapter. The book of Proverbs mentions the path, it mentions the way, it mentions the road, if you will, of wisdom. And so what we see here is a roadmap that keeps us off of the pathway of the wicked and on the path of wisdom. And obedience to the will of God involves what we're going to see in a moment, the whole being. You say, what do you mean? Mind, body, and soul, every bit of it. It means all in. And so the next several verses talk about taking all of the members of our body and of our heart and what we're supposed to do with them to be able to walk in the way of wisdom. So let's start in verse 20. We have to ask this and look at the question, okay, first of all, we look at the ears in verse 20. Now you say, what does this have to do with anything? Here we go, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, I didn't count, and I don't know how many times Solomon said this to his son, but it had to have been a lot of times where he said, hear me now, listen. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. And it's not just listen and hear, it's hear and receive in verse 10. Hear and receive. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to them. Listen to them and incline thy ear unto my sayings. To incline one's ear is to strain to hear wisdom. You're listening for the wisdom that is of God. How many of you ever heard your parents tell you the reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth? You know what the rest of it is, right? It's so that we listen twice as much as we speak. That saying actually has its root in an ancient Greek philosopher's statement. It sounds a little bit more polished. It says the reason we have two ears and one mouth is that we may listen the more and talk the less. And that's interesting. That goes way, 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 way back. But it probably goes back beyond that philosopher as well. It goes back to the Word of God, that God tells us that ears were given to listen. We've already talked about that tonight. Listen for instruction. And the book of Proverbs, actually, I love it because it personifies principle. I mean, it takes principles of living and makes it into a person. For instance, it says that we need to hear the voice of instruction. The voice of instruction. That's verses 1, verse 20, verse 10. Verse 1 says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no good understanding. We need to avoid, the Bible says, the voice of temptation. That's chapter 1. We need to embrace the voice of wisdom. Read Proverbs chapter 8, and you are going to hear. I mean, you can almost, with your physical ears, almost hear wisdom crying in the streets. What a powerful passage of Scripture. So God is giving us these principles, and he says one of the first things you need to do is you need to listen for wisdom. Whatever enters my ears, we have to know this, whatever enters my ears will ultimately influence my entire life. The kids always sing it, but oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There are times with our kiddos, and if you let your kids watch TV, you may have to do the same. I walk in and I say, hey, just turn that off. Our kids know that dad doesn't come in. When he comes in to check what's on the TV, it's usually not a good thing. That's the way I was raised too. My parents were probably even more strict than I am, and that's I'm blessed by that. I'm not upset at that. Why? Because, number one, they are kids. They're impressionable. And what's going in there is going to stay there. You say, well, you know, it's not such a big deal. You'd be amazed at the theme songs that my kids can sing. One of them started singing one the other day, and I went, Cheryl, what have you taught our son? No, it wasn't that bad. But it just, I went, what, where, okay, that's interesting, you know. Why? Because right here, what we hear influences us. Then verse 25 tells us what we see influences us. This is, I'm getting them out of order from the Scripture here, but not because I think the Scripture's wrong. The Scripture's right. I'm just trying to put it from the intake to the outflow. So you'll see in a moment. But we see in verse 25, here's what it says. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now this is to his son. Look right on, look straight ahead, don't go anywhere else. Have you ever heard the statement before? Outlook determines outcome. Outlook determines outcome. You see, Lot and Abraham lived to understand this, both to their opposite extremes. Abraham, the Bible says, was looking to Jesus. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. His job was not to look at Sodom. His job was not to look at the plains that were well watered. His job was to look to heaven and say, I'm looking for a city. I'm just a sojourner and a pilgrim here. I'm not going to be here forever, so I'm not very attached to this. Why was he able to do that? Because he kept his eyes right here. Okay, let thine eyes look straight on, the Bible says, right on. Lot, on the other hand, the Bible says, when they had to part ways, he looked and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. Now, I preached this in a sermon a few years ago. I don't think I've preached it here since then. But it's an interesting progression that his looking affected his living, because pretty soon he was living where he was looking. And then his living affected his leading, because pretty soon Lot was a believer, but his children were not. And his leading affected his legacy. Though we know Lot to be a saved man, we know him to be a torn, miserable man at the end of his life with a tattered and tainted legacy. So we know what our focus should be on. It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. If we're focused on the right things, then we'll look away from the wrong things. Parents, it's okay to monitor your children in this way. I remember walking through the malls. My mom would always, she had us down. She would say, eyes left. Because there'd be certain stores. She didn't want us to look into those stores. Eyes left. I am to this day convinced that I am dyslexic. Because I got in trouble so many times. And I didn't mean it, Mom. I didn't mean it. You know, left. Okay, good, you know. But the Bible says if we're going to look at the right thing, then we're not looking at the wrong thing. So flee also youthful lusts. And David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that they should not look upon a maid. What was that? I'm not going to look. Why? Because there's two paths. The path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. One is to avoid, the other is to embrace. So we notice what is the ears, what are the eyes, but then I want you to look at verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Are you starting to notice that God is working throughout the entire being here? The mind, the body, the soul, all of it. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What does the rest of that say? If you're there in verse 23, read the last part of the verse with me. Ready? For out of it are the issues of life. Think about that statement. Keep means to guard, protect, to be very, very careful with. And we know that whatever the heart loves is that to which the ear will listen and the eyes will see. Why is the heart such a big deal? The heart is commonly, and this is a definition that I read today, I brought it to us tonight. The heart commonly refers to the mind as the center of thinking and reason, but also includes the emotions, the wills, and thus the whole inner being. The Bible talks about the inner man. The heart is the depository of all wisdom and the source of whatever affects speech, sight, and conduct. Physically speaking, think about this. When is a person pronounced dead? When their heart stops beating. When they cannot find a pulse. So that's why the Bible tells us spiritually we have a very strong encouragement in Scripture and command in Scripture that we keep our heart with all diligence. Because if your spiritual heart is damaged, your entire walk is damaged. One man said this, we cannot pollute the wellspring of the heart and expect a spiritually healthy walk with God. So we're careful, constantly, completely careful to guard our heart. Well, how do we do this? We guard the inputs. We guard the gates. We guard the ears. We guard the eyes. We compare, I would say, secondly, a good thought for us tonight is how to guard your heart. Always compare your feelings and emotions to Scripture. Because something that I have to remind myself of and something you should remind yourself of is this, is that God is bigger than my feelings. And that's so important, because if we go on our feelings, if we go based on our emotion and our feelings, then we're going to be all over the place. We're going to feel one way at one time and another way another time. So compare your feelings and measure them by the Scriptures. Then the Bible says we ought to take every thought captive. Why? Or how? With the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty, spiritual, mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible gives us many types of hearts that we should avoid. I'm thinking of the Bible talks about break up your fallow ground, the hardness of your heart. It says we should not have a double heart. It says we should not have a proud heart. In Hebrews, it mentions that they had an evil heart of unbelief. To have a cold heart is a problem. To have an unclean heart, David said he wanted to have a new heart. So what is this? Well, we see the eyes and the ears as inputs. We see the heart as the receiver, but then we see the outflow of this begins. Number 4, verse 24. with our mouth, with our lips. Look at what it says in verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth. A mouth that just says anything it wants, anytime it wants. And perverse lips put far from thee, a foul mouth, if you will. Out of the heart flows the issues of life, especially our words. Especially our words. A few verses I'll give you on this. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I really like this particular verse. This thought is found elsewhere in the Gospels, but I love how it's worded here in Luke, just for my own reading. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Notice this. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Think about that. Jesus said these words. He said, a good man out of the goodness of his heart is going to bring forth good. An evil man out of the evilness of his heart is going to bring forth evil, and that will be manifested first and foremost in what we say. What's in here will show up right here. You can't hide it, at least not forever. The words we speak will emanate from the heart. The book of Proverbs has much to say about our mouth. As a matter of fact, the word mouth is used over 50 times, the word lips is used over 40 times, and the word is used over 40 times as well. If you want to know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and when not to say it, you should read the book of Proverbs. You say, well, I just say what I think. Well, you should also read the book of Proverbs. I speak my mind. Not necessarily what God says is the most virtuous of all of your characteristics. Okay, sound speech. The Bible says that we should have sound speech. Titus chapter 2, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. In other words, we don't speak frivolously, we speak after having studied and worked. Gracious speech, Colossians 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Isn't that an interesting verse? Let it always be that way so that you'll know how to answer someone. You'll never have to think about it because you've already created a habit and a diligence in your speech. There's speech to avoid. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Flattering lips, the Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Deceptive lips, Proverbs 24, 28, deceive not with thy lips. Proverbs 16, 28 says, loose lips, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That's talking about betraying confidence. Active lips. Proverbs 10, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And one of my favorite verses is, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. This all leads back to the path. Here it is, the last two verses, 26 and 27. So we've been through the eyes, we've been through the ears, the heart, the lips, but now we're going to go back to the feet. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Now, in the first portion of our text tonight that we read, of our reading, I should say, it said, do not walk in the way of the evil. Don't do it. Avoid it. Walk not by it. Go the other direction. But then in this last portion, it gives you some sort of redemption here. If you say, well, my foot's already there. What is the last statement? It says, remove thy foot from evil. Okay, yeah, you haven't avoided it. You're there. Get out of that path. Get out of the path of the wicked. Get on the path of the wise. The Bible says we ought to consider, or we ought to rather ponder, which means to balance. Balance, ponder the path of thy feet. And that just simply means to consider and weigh all of your choices and to take inventory of your choices. Very, very important. Let all thy ways be established. Don't go through life guessing every step. Well, I don't know. See, that's the thing. God says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more. The closer we get to God, the more consistently we walk with God, the brighter our life gets. Now, that's not to say the absence of storms and trials is a reality. It's to say that we have the brightness of the joy of the Lord because we have God's wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. And we are pondering, we are establishing, and we are not turning away. We're not turning to the right hand or to the left. We're going to go forward, straight ahead. And if you go on from chapter 4, and I'll just make this note real quick, the book of Proverbs takes a turn. So the way of the wicked, the way of wisdom, the path of the wicked, the path of wisdom. In chapter 5, you start to read about the seductress, the strange woman, the one who is opposite of wisdom. Okay, chapter 5 and 7 are the opposite of chapter 8. And what you see is an interesting thing. Wisdom is the path that gets brighter and brighter as you go along. But wickedness starts out looking bright and ends up looking very dark. That's the end result. Wisdom is a path that's delightful. It's enjoyable. Wickedness is a path that's disappointing. I like this thought. Wisdom develops you. Wickedness destroys you. So Proverbs is a pretty good resource for us. Practically speaking, if we're going to walk in the will of God, it's going to take our eyes, our ears, our heart, our lips, our feet. And of course, we know it goes beyond that because the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I mean, your whole body. And that's why I think Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants everything to be sanctified. And we sing that song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. And we go through in that song, we go through the eyes and we go through our hands and we go through our feet and we go through our tongue, all of those things. We just say, God, you have all of me. Does God have all of you? Because if you're going to walk in wisdom, your whole self is going to have to go there. There's no Wizard of Oz scarecrow. A little bit over there and a little bit over there. Yeah. I don't know why I just thought of that. Not even in my notes tonight. We've all got to be right there. The whole being's got to be right there. And we've got to go put our eyes forward and our feet set to walk in the way of wisdom. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for this thought from your word. I pray that you'd please bless us with memory and remembrance of this. Help us to be able to recognize things in our life, areas of our life that would benefit from the application of the scripture. And Lord, I pray that we would go out and practice what we've learned. Bless us as we go our way tonight. Lord, I do pray that you'd keep us safe over the course of these next several days with the heat and all of this. Lord, we know that there are some dangers there, but Lord, we also know that you're in control. I pray that you'd please bless us as we're dismissed in just a moment. In Jesus' name. Amen. And before we leave tonight, let me just